these breaks can happen physically, mentally, emotionally. We have these opportunities to fill those in with gold.
You've just tuned in to Rebel Wellness. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales, integrative clinical nutritionist in training, fitness pro of over a decade, and the woman who refused to accept normal when my body was screaming otherwise. If you're the high achiever who's been told your blood work is perfect while you're secretly Googling why you feel like garbage, if you're crushing it at work but your energy crashes at 3 p.m. and your cycle just feels off, or maybe you've been gaslit by providers who dismiss your symptoms as just stress, and you know something deeper is going on, you're my people. Here's where functional medicine meets real talk strategy. I created this podcast as your resource to take back the driver's seat on your health journey. Women are incredibly intuitive, and I'm here to help you reconnect with that voice. This isn't about perfection or another protocol to fail at. It's about finally getting the answers your body has been begging for and the tools that actually work in your real, messy, beautiful life. Less noise, more nourishment. Let's dive in. What does it mean to be truly successful when your body is literally forcing you to stop? Today's guest fell 12 feet in a climbing gym, broke 3 bones, and ended up discovering something she'd been running from her entire life: the ability to actually receive care instead of just giving it, and a whole lot more. What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to the show. I'm Kaylee, and I am so excited to have this conversation today because it's one I think a lot of us high-performance babes need to hear, even if we're not really ready for it, because I know that, you know, it's hard. It's hard to have these life lessons that sometimes just literally happen out of nowhere when you least expect it. You've probably seen the whole soft girl season. You know, I've discussed it many times, slowdown season, whatever you want to call it, from this trend that's kind of been floating around. But it's a good trend, as you've heard. And I'm totally here for the aesthetic, but let's be real. For those of us that are high achieving, high performance women, you know, hustlers, whatever you want to label us, slowing down isn't just some cute little sabbatical. It's often forced on us by our bodies, our health, or in today's case, a literal fall from grace at the climbing gym. I am invited today by my friend Netta Shakuri back on the podcast from Shakuri Wellness, because her story is so relatable to what many of us are navigating right now. And honestly, it's relatable to my own journey, as you guys know. Or if you don't know, last year I made the decision to slash my client load to like a third of what it was. Not because business was bad at all, but because I was. And I also, you know, decided in the midst of it all to start my master's program in clinical nutrition. And that choice brought up everything, you know, guilt, identity crisis, that voice that says, but you should be able to handle it all. You've done it before, you know, and my health, you know, looking at my blood work and getting deeper testing and even just experiencing the symptoms. Like, you don't even have to do the testing to know. The testing often just kind of confirms it, that like my body was asking me to pay attention to it better. I was no longer at the age where I could just go for 70-hour weeks and keep showing up like bright-eyed, bushy-tailed for all my clients, you know. And when my headspace wasn't there, you know, you start to lose the passion for what you do. And so for me, this was essential for like reconnecting and doing it better, building better. You know, this is a theme that I'm seeing with a ton of entrepreneurs. I just have fortunately gotten to get to this point a little bit earlier, but it doesn't matter where you meet me. Maybe you're meeting me and you are in starting into your 40s, or maybe you're in your 20s, or maybe you are also in your 30s and are trying to build a better foundation for your health. So if you're somebody who's been told that, you know, you're so independent, or if you pride yourself on doing it all, if the thought of resting makes you feel lazy or unproductive, or there's a voice in your head from maybe your mom or your grandma saying that, this conversation is going to reflect something back to you that you may not want to see, but you desperately need to hear this. So today, Netta is sharing her journey from high-powered attorney to yoga nidra teacher, from strength training 2 hours a day to learning how to let strangers help her carry her groceries in. And we're talking about guilt, grief, the Japanese art of kintsugi, and disappointment in ourselves, and why the hardest work you'll ever do might actually be learning to do less. So Make sure to check out the show notes if you want to learn more how to connect with Netta or any of my resources as well. And make sure you connect with our community on Instagram. That is where we hang out. That is where all the other good extra in education and good stuff comes from. So grab your tea or your coffee, get cozy, maybe go on a walk, put your phone on Do Not Disturb or something like that for this one so you're not splitting your attention, because we're all learning, relearning how to, you know, really take care of our brains and our focus, I feel like, these days. But whatever you do, you really want to be present for this conversation, because if you have aligned with literally anything I've said in this introduction, I think that it'll be a great listen for you. All right, let's dive in. All right, guys, we have a very special repeat guest back onto the show. I have the beautiful Netta Shakouri, and we're going to talk a little bit different today about more of a personal story, because I think it's really important for us to keep hearing from other women going through, you know, a lot of this this chapter of, you know, slowing down, or a slow girl season, or soft girl season, they're calling it, and that's what I called it last season. But I know that Netta has a really unique story, so I really wanted to have her back on the podcast to share a little bit about, you know, her journey, and she's still in the journey. So welcome, Netta, back to the show.
Thank you, Kaylee. Great to be back.
Yeah. So for a little bit, can you give a little context to the listeners about your journey? I know we talked about some of it as far as your career goes in your past episode together, but whatever you think is important for listeners to know about your journey in general.
Yeah, thank you. So at the risk of making this a really long life story, I have always been a very active human being, I would say. I've definitely enjoyed a variety of activities as far as moving my body, whether that's outdoors or indoors, from hiking to water sports to snow sports, Pilates, yoga, strength training, all the things. And part of that also included some indoor rock climbing, which is, I suppose, the subject of this journey and why we're here talking today. But that's kind of just to set the foundation of somebody that's been pretty highly active, I would say, to slowing down a few years ago because of just some health and wellness things that I wanted to work on myself. And then really actually being given the opportunity to slow down even more forcefully through a injury that has been with me since March of this year that I'm still kind of working through. So,
yeah. And I think, you know, coming from your background, your long-term background of, you know, doing the usual California Bay Area rat race, and like we were talking about before we started and hit record, but it is a really interesting concept to talk about being a high achieving woman or high performance or all of those different terminologies that we kind of will put, like, you and I are in that category. Many of my clients I've worked with are in the same category, and we were laughing about how it's like we don't think that we're actually, you know, a high achieving person until you realize when, like, health slaps you or an injury slaps you, that it's like, oh, I was doing so much, you know? Right. Go ahead.
I was going to say it's an interesting mirror to hold up to yourself and realize, wow, okay, I am in this category for these reasons, and not to label ourselves and create this box within which we operate from, but I think it is important to recognize when we are doing a lot. And that, of course, as you mentioned, sometimes comes in the form of an injury or an issue with your health. And those are the moments where we have this gift to kind of take a step back and take stock of where we're at and understand, okay, yeah, maybe I am doing a lot, and how can I kind of optimize my life and slow down and rest in the ways that I need? And what does that look like for me? It's always different for every unique individual, right? So, yeah, I have high achieving sisters, two of them. And so I have never considered myself to be high achieving, but once I started kind of diving in and looking at some of these things, I realized, okay, yes, I have opportunities and places where for me in my life and what feels good and what I need, I can slow down a little bit.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good revelation to come from that. And we're going to definitely dive into that a little bit more. But I think, too, it's kind of nice to reflect on like the lessons that it's teaching us, too, every time we come up against like another little obstacle. Because at first, I know from my own journey, when I initially last fall was like, okay, well, I'm going to have to slice my clientele in half and actually like relax a little and this or that. Actually relaxing seems like almost impossible because you just, at first it's like the guilt thing, right? Like I should be doing something. And then when you're not doing like work, then you try to fill it with other things and, you know, yeah. And then, and it's super easy nowadays too, because I mean, we have social media and all these things to fill in. And did you experience like, because I know, like you had mentioned, but I also know personally that you started to kind of focus on taking better care of yourself and slowing down and like leaving your high-paced career. What were some of the obstacles you first came up against when we're kind of talking about those little things that creep up?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I would say for me, one of the biggest things which you mentioned was the guilt associated with not doing. So having come from this past of being just physically very active and then also having a really demanding career for 20 years in law, when I took a step back from the career part, which I needed to do, it was a moment of having a lot of space. And of course, as somebody that is very active and has been kind of accustomed socially, culturally, and in so many other ways to do a lot, there were times where I felt like, what, I'm lazy, or what am I doing? What's my purpose? How am I contributing? And as I went through that process kind of emotionally, mentally, spiritually, I think for me, it was helpful to have some of those foundational kind of anchoring spiritual practices to remind me and to kind of hold me in that space and let me know that it's okay, that it's normal maybe to feel some of this guilt. It's normal to feel the discomfort of not having 5 million things to do each day and to just take some time for yourself. And you know this, but pretty early on in that process of letting go of the really demanding career, I found what I now teach and practice, which is yoga nidra. And that is identified as a practice of non-doing. Yeah. You are literally laying there. Sometimes you'll fall asleep, which is also fine, but that is what it is. It's a practice of non-doing and just being. And that is a space that is very uncomfortable for a lot of us when we're so used to doing so much, and we're also told that we have to do a lot to feel valued and valuable. And so there's actually a lot of emotional turmoil that can arise once we start to dismantle these narratives and these systems within ourselves that we've been trained to operate from. So guilt was definitely one of the main ones, and still to an extent is. And I will say, actually, the interesting thing about the journey with the guilt is as I went through these milestones of deepening my commitment to my wellness and slowing down even more and doing even less, I still certainly come up against some of these kind of emotional barriers. But this particular injury, which we can get into more details about, was a really, really, really deep dive into into facing that guilt in a way that I hadn't before, and actually coming to a place where I felt proud of my ability to rest, and I felt privileged that I was able to actually rest and give my body what it needed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think that those are two really good points that you make, because for my own side, I definitely was, the guilt part for me was also just the fact that like I'm in a scenario where I am able to make mm-hmm. those decisions, you know, like I have my husband to lean on now, you know, and all this different stuff. And a lot of that was due to why, like, I didn't, you know, explore it more sooner, even though my health yeah. stuff was creeping right. in and communicating to me. But it was that hyper independence of like, you know, I always had some long-term relationships and then I'd be back by myself, you know, and I always lived in my own space. And so it was just like this pressure to just be like, I can do it all on my own, you know, and I'm sure that that's something that's relatable to you. Just that that ability to do it all on your own and be good. And then like everyone be like, wow, you're so independent. And yeah. it's like, but at a cost, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And so for me, it was also this, there was also a combination of guilt of like, oh, other people, like, I can't be like, you just need to do this, because it's like, well, it's very lucky that I could do, or, you know, not luck is the right term, but it's fortunate right. that I have the capability and the space to do that. So I think that that's a really a good point to also include, that those feelings come up. And I think I've been kind of like learning and studying through some self-help things or other great leaders, thought leaders in this kind of space, is for business women specifically, is like, you don't, sometimes we make ourselves busy because of the mm-hmm. stuff that we don't want to reflect on. Yeah. And so I'm sure we're going to probably come through that a little bit more too soon here. But that was something for me where I was just like, oh no, is this what shadow work is? Like mm-hmm. I've heard of the term shadow work. And one of my friends who does tarot cards, she was always talking about the shadow work. And I was just like, yeah, yeah. And then once we get into this space that we've created for ourselves, it's like your shadows are just like, oh, hi. You got time now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah. That is part of the extreme discomfort at times yes. that can come with slowing down. It's such a great point that you make. And it's, you know, there's so much we can get into about this, but it's a really beautiful process, actually. Challenging, but also really beautiful. I feel like in the last few years, having made some of these decisions to adjust my lifestyle and adjust the ways that I'm living, I have certainly come up against this feeling of living in the shadows. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I've been able to, at this point, I would say in the last couple of years, again, with some of these anchoring spiritual practices to kind of hold me as I go through all this stuff. I feel like I'm in a place where I want to do that shadow work. I'm not scared of it. Mm-hmm. It helps me. And again, this injury was a big realization there too, of just going even deeper into the shadows mm-hmm. and the dark. And I think for those of us who I think you're like this too, we just have this ebullient nature and we're very optimistic and we enjoy life, and there's a lot of pleasure always available if we really open our eyes to it. And that, in my opinion, can be kind of running in parallel with this notion of we do a lot to kind of not look at the things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes not because we don't want to look at the things, but sometimes it's just because we'd rather do this. And it's not that we're scared of looking at the thing. It's just we'd rather do this other thing that's yeah. fun.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But then these are opportunities to really look at all of that and realize actually there is so much there that is so beautiful and that really is a treasure for us to kind of uncover within ourselves mm-hmm. if we're willing to create the space and draw the boundaries to give ourselves the time to do that. And you mentioned luck and being fortunate. And certainly I'm aware that there are certain privileges that we have when we undertake these paths. And there's also a really conscious decision that I think I've made and you've made to go there and to give ourselves the space to go there, whether that means not buying some of the things that we used to buy yeah. because we want to work less
yeah.
or maybe not socializing in the ways that we used to socialize because we just need to spend some time internally to do this work, which requires a mind-body-spirit approach. So, you know, there are also, I don't want to call them sacrifices, but there are decisions and choices, yeah, that we make to do this stuff. And in my opinion, based on the journey that I've traveled thus far, the payoffs are exponential. They create so much beauty in my life, so much more than I ever thought possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Same here. And that's a good way to put it, because sometimes if you just focus on like the how lucky it is to have this space and whatnot, there's absolutely major trade-offs that have been extremely uncomfortable, but like you said, very worth it, because cutting, like working so hard to build a business up to like more than full time, and then be like, and I'm going to slash it down to one third just so I could sit around more, you know? And it's like, okay, not really just sit around, but you know, it feels that way at first. And that was the thing that I had to come around to. And I know that even like to some extent, like with friends, like I'm always that friend that's like, I got the bill, you know, all this different stuff. And I'm like, no,
yeah.
Okay, well, we could split it, or we could do something that doesn't, you know? Yeah. So there's totally trade-offs. There's totally things that you know, some of them are sacrifices, but I know that they're always short-term. And like you said, they're for betterment of like our future trajectory, and it's definitely a blessing that we get to explore this earlier in life, because I do know quite a bit of people, like it used to be normal to have, what I think one of my therapist clients said, usually women in their, like once they hit the 50 mark is kind of when they have this kind of like not a midlife crisis, but kind of. There was a different term she had for it that was very sciencey, but it was like that was usually when, you know, this inner work was coming out for women. And so it's really great that we get to choose to do this sooner. And, you know, it's very enriching.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit more now about this ominous injury that we've been referencing. Yeah,
like everyone, are you on the edge of your seats?
Yeah, now they're like, what happened to her? Let's talk a little bit about the evolution, like kind of how the process went for you, because I definitely remember checking in with you ever since it, that it has been a total roller coaster.
Yeah, so I will take it back for a second to when we talked about kind of filling our space with other things. So I took time away from the demanding career, and then I spent a couple of years actually really deep diving into just taking care of myself, spiritual practices, spiritual studies, creating this business that I now have. And slowly in that process, I started to add in more movement. Mm-hmm. So I started really getting into my strength training a lot more and in ways that I hadn't before. I started doing a little bit more running. I actually toned it down with some of the yoga and started to keep that more mellow. But I definitely started to increase some of the exercise, where I got to a point in kind of summer of 2024. I was strength training for about an hour and a half to 2 hours a day at a climbing gym, where I ultimately decided I wanted to get back into climbing because it was something that I had really enjoyed over the course of my life. But I had always done rope climbing, and that was preventative in the sense that I needed a partner. But this particular gym had just non-rope climbing, bouldering. And so I thought, oh, what a wonderful thing. I can now add bouldering to my to my workouts as well. And so I started to do that. And a few months into that process, I went in one day. I was a few days before I started my cycle. I was feeling a little bit tired. Mm-hmm. And I told myself, keep it simple today. Just take it easy. Allow your body to rest. Listen to your inner voice. That's something that I've really been trying to do more of over the last few years. And I did listen to myself until the very end of my workout. And I decided to do this challenging climb that I had done about 2 weeks prior. And I did the climb. And just as I was about to descend, I just lost strength in my right hand, and I fell in an uncontrolled fall from about 12 feet. And I heard a few cracks. I didn't know what it was because I'd never broken anything before, and I expected that there would be some extreme pain associated with that. But of course, adrenaline and all the things kick in. And I didn't know what happened. And somebody came and kind of asked me if I was okay. And I knew something was wrong. I just didn't quite know what. And so, of course, somebody went and got a manager to come check on me, and probably a mix of hormones and also this ultimate thing that I think is really important to have some reflection on. I felt really disappointed in myself. And so tears were streaming, yeah. And you know, all these things happened, and I ended up going to the emergency room, and initially they thought that I just broke one bone in my fibia, but then about a week later when I saw the actual doctor, it turned out I had broken two bones in my tibia and one in my fibula, and I needed surgery, which was such a challenging moment and realization, because that just felt like such a big thing for me, the thought of having surgery and having all these medications injected and taking all these medications afterward and not being able to move for a while. Yeah. It was just so many things. And fortunately, I have family close by who took really good care of me. And so I've had this really beautiful, actually, healing journey that's been definitely mixed with a lot of challenges. But that is ultimately what happened. And it's interesting. I've had some people ask me, oh, you know, were you scared or were you worried or any of those things kind of right after it happened? And it was a really important time for me to actually reflect and realize that that emotion that actually came up was disappointment. And mm-hmm. Where was that coming from? Why were you disappointed in yourself? And it goes back to this concept of being high achieving and high performing and always being able to do the thing. And so many components of it were triggered as far as, okay, yes, I did the climb, but you could argue I wasn't able to get down properly.
I was going to say, well, you got to.
So, you know, I didn't do it right.
Yes.
And then I didn't listen to myself. I told myself, don't do anything hard. Your body's tired. And I did it anyway. And so there was this disappointment and maybe even a little bit of shame as far as like, why didn't you listen to yourself? You knew you shouldn't do that. You knew you needed rest. Why do you keep doing this to yourself? Why do you keep pushing yourself so hard and overworking and overdoing it to the detriment of your health and wellness? And so it was so interesting to have that conversation in the context of physical activity as opposed to my career, mm-hmm. because with the career, it felt easy actually to get to the point of like, yeah, why am I doing that? Yeah. I don't want that. I don't need that. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, hindsight's 2020. That's after 20 years of doing that. Yeah.
2020.
But it felt so unfamiliar to be in that space because of physical activity.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that was just kind of one of the really deep and beautiful realizations that came out of that experience and process, and still is something that I'm processing and working through.
Yeah. It's really interesting, that insight into like the way you received it, and then what did that mean about like your core beliefs about mm-hmm. yourself, right? And but it gave you an opportunity to identify that now, yeah. and work through it. I think something that my husband and I talk about a lot, because we both are very much the similar type. I would say sometimes I don't know if I get to that disappointment part, where usually I'll just be like, I'll logic my way out of it and be like, well, that, you know, whatever, the universe is random sometimes. But like for my husband, like his immediate response to some things is like, why didn't I do this a certain way? Like, you know, just immediate disappointment. And we definitely have been working on that reflection together. And it is something I would extend to any of my listeners who resonate with being high achieving and feeling like, oh, you didn't achieve a thing, like that somehow means something about your self-worth, or that is the only thing to focus on or something, yeah. you know.
Yeah.
That's really great that you had that insight. And then from that instance and growth, what would you say was kind of like where you're at now? Like, how have you evolved from that?
Yeah, so many ways.
Sure.
So I'm going to actually just for a minute get philosophical here with a little proverb that I really love that I think is applicable here. I believe it's a Zen proverb, and it's about this farmer who has a horse, and one day the horse just kind of absconds. It's missing. And the townspeople are like, oh, you know, how unfortunate, you lost your horse. You don't have your horse anymore. Such bad luck. And then the next day the horse comes back with another horse, and the townspeople are like, oh, look at you. How lucky you are. You have two horses now. And then the farmer's son ends up riding one of the horses one day and falls and breaks his leg. And the townspeople tell the farmer, oh my gosh, such bad luck you have. Your son broke his leg because he was riding this horse. And then war breaks out, and all of the young men in the town are drafted to go to war except the farmer's son because he's injured. And so the townspeople are like, oh, you're so lucky. Your son doesn't have to go to war. And it's just this kind of journey of looking at these moments in life that are so challenging, the darkness, the shadows, and understanding that those then make way for the light and the good stuff. And you could apply this in so many ways. Like, I go backpacking, and some of my best backpacking trips have also been some of the most excruciatingly challenging backpacking trips. And it's like, sometimes the reward is equal to the challenge that was put in or that you had to endure. And so I feel like for me, one of the things that has kind of changed is I've realized even more deeply kind of that philosophy of we come out of these things so much stronger. And I have spent the last few years really trying to get to a place where my self-love and my self-care is prioritized, is increased, and I feel great about how much I've done. And then this gave me an opportunity to care for myself and to love myself in ways I never had, mm-hmm. where there would be days where I'm just laying for hours tending to myself. And even now in my rehab process, I need to prioritize how much I'm doing physical therapy every day. And so there are other things that I cannot do. And the gratitude that I have for my body, for the strength of my body to be able to use crutches for those first few months, which was challenging. And I'm like, thank you, right leg, for being so strong, right? All that strength training. Mm-hmm. I'm like, thank you, Kaylee.
We balanced the muscles
before. I'm like, how would I have done all that if I didn't have this strong body to work off of? And then also, thank you for my right leg for taking that hit, because it could have been my back. Yeah. It could have been my neck. And so looking into this process, into the details of all of this, and understanding that on a micro level, but then on a macro level, like, this is how life is, right?
Yeah.
We have these moments where we break our leg.
Yeah.
And we're then given an opportunity to look at that with different eyes, with fresh eyes, yeah. with a lens of love and care and compassion for ourselves. Yeah. So it's definitely enabled me to kind of double and triple down on all of that, all this work that I've been really intentionally doing for the last few years. It's also enabled me to receive in ways that I have never allowed myself or given myself permission to receive. Mm-hmm. You're a caretaker, you're a giver, you're a nurturer. I'm surrounded by people who are high achieving at that.
Yes. So, I know one very intimately.
Yes. And to be in a situation where I couldn't say no, actually, I had to say yes to help,
yeah.
was so humbling and so tender. And yeah. So that sent me down this road of just softening even more to myself and the people around me, whether I know them or not, right? It's this idea of like, at any given moment, somebody's going through something. Mm-hmm. And if we can just be tender and compassionate toward people and allow them to kind of receive what we're giving them and to also allow ourselves to receive what they're giving us is such a beautiful thing. And again, such a privilege and an honor to be in a situation where I was able to receive that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think your experience, like with the perspective shift, is one of those that I've heard from other mostly like athletes I've come across or mm-hmm. clients that have gone through injuries as well that took them down for the count for a while. And that if you come out of it kind of seeing as like, what is this? Like, this isn't necessarily like a black eye on my life timeline. Like, this could be a whole different purpose. And really just does come down to perspective. And I'm listening to a book by Gabby Bernstein, where she's kind of talking about how you, that your perspective on life and like where you focus on joy and whatnot mm-hmm. is what kind of attracts more of that. And, mm-hmm. and I do, and I'm a big believer in, there's even science that backs, you know, having that type of perspective and mentality actually can help you heal faster physically and mentally, you know? So that's something that's really encouraging, I think, especially that through this experience for you, learning that is going to, you know, carry on into the rest of your life and in really positive ways that a lot of us, I think, could benefit from as well. If yeah. anyone is able to listen and learn through someone else's experience. But sometimes, you know, it just is, you know, it doesn't have to be an injury for us to come to those moments right. where we can either choose this or that. And you were saying something I wanted to comment on as well about the injury, but it's escaped me. But if it comes back to me, I'll bring it back up.
Yeah. I will say one funny thing. A few months ago, I was kind of just talking to my partner about some of the realizations that I've had from this injury. And he brought up this really hilarious analogy of kintsugi. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's essentially this really beautiful ancient Japanese art form where if something breaks, they essentially fill in, they put the thing back together and they fill it in and bind it with gold. Mm-hmm. And I had taken a kintsugi workshop a couple years ago and have this little teacup. And when I was telling my partner about kind of this process and how it's been, he said, "You kintsugied yourself."
Yeah. No, that's a good, yeah, that's totally a great term. That's so funny.
You know, it's like these breaks can happen physically, mentally, emotionally, and they can be of any size, right? It could be just a small fracture or like a clean break. And the idea that I kind of do enjoy thinking about in relation to that analogy is we have these opportunities to fill those in with gold, right? Mm-hmm. And what gold is whatever we choose it to be. But to, you know, it could be joy, like you mentioned earlier, and perspective, and whatever that perspective is, let's fill those little cracks in or those big cracks in with that perspective. Yeah,
absolutely. That's a good metaphor as well, because I was just talking to Cam about, for my own slowdown journey, that the hardest part for me as like a, which I'm sure like now that you're into the online space as a small business as well, it feels this way, is the constant pressures of like social media and keeping up with it to have that success, because it rewards you participating constantly. But for those of us who are in more of a spiritual journey and trying to take care of ourselves, they don't really mesh well together. Right. And one of the biggest things for me, especially since like not taking on new clientele right now and whatnot, was I kept feeling like I need to stay up on certain things because I don't want to fall behind. Like, I've built up this whole thing, you know, with my past training business, and it's like, I don't want to lose that. And it was one of those things where I was kind of journaling through it and realizing that like there were, it wasn't perfect, even though it was working, it wasn't perfect before. And I did literally like break. We're going to use a kintsugi kind of concept. Mm-hmm, yeah. And right now I am fixing those cracks. Like I'm trying to figure out how do I make my bowl not lose all the water, because yeah. I lost all the water the first time and we don't want that again. Yeah. So I think that's a really like beautiful metaphor for it, because mm-hmm. sometimes we do think that like, oh, well, we're too far gone, or we can't, you know, break out of this. And it's like, well, what are different ways that you can look through a different lens, you know, and, yeah. and how do you take it easier on yourself? Because that's definitely the inner talk that I've for sure had on my own, like kind of slow down season is definitely the like, you need to keep up, you need to do more, you know, like.
Yeah. It is really hard. And I will say I'm in another one of those spaces myself after having kind of decided to go this route of spiritual business and finding that I wasn't aligning with a lot of the ways that people are doing it, and taking a step back again and kind of being in a space where I don't want to do it this way. That doesn't feel authentic or aligned for me. And so I have all this space, which there is, again, some guilt and a feeling of like, you're not doing the thing yet. You know, yeah. you're still figuring it out. And why haven't you figured it out yet? And it's like all these external voices that, when I really came down to it a couple of weeks ago and realized, you know, this is my process. This is my journey. And maybe it was okay for me to be fire in a certain season of my life, but I'm not fire right now. Right now I want to be water and just go with the flow. And so it's, again, like this, we've kind of talked about this concept of urgency culture. I don't know if it's applicable in this context, but I'd like to think it is, in the sense that like, yes. No, I need to go slow here.
Yeah. Basically.
When I try to move faster and push the thing, it's actually eluding me. So why don't I do it in the way that actually feels good for me? Yeah. Without all the external voices and external pressures, and just go with my flow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And the thing that I just remembered that I was going to comment on was that feeling of accepting help. Mm-hmm. That is something that, again, kind of that hyper independence and mm-hmm. stuff I was talking about before. It's like it's very hard to just be like, no, it's okay and whatnot. And like, for those who follow any zodiac stuff, I'm a Virgo, so it's very much like I can do it on my own, and yeah. I could probably do it better, you know. So it's like it's one of those challenges where I'm like, okay, but there's also nothing wrong with how somebody else does it, and if they want to help you, and you know, sitting around, especially when you look at more of like the you know, your perspective with the Ayurveda, like fire and water, and then also like for like the functional medicine side of like HPA axis dysfunction, or things like where your cortisol has been. And I would assume that would kind of be like you've been in fire space mm-hmm. for way too long. Yeah. And so I've been simultaneously, I guess, trying to shift into more of a water. And it's also weird because people around you also sometimes are like, wait, you're not like available 24/7 mm-hmm. or, you know, have you experienced that, especially like through your injury where you kind of like wanted to cocoon and heal and, you know, all that kind of stuff? Because that's hard. I think a lot of people don't want to let people down or they, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I would say I'm coming from it from an already kind of decreased level of interest in connecting digitally and in the virtual world. And so now with this injury, certainly I've gone through periods where I just want to be in my own space and I have no interest in socializing or connecting mm-hmm. or being on my phone. And in particularly as I've progressed and I'm able to actually like get outside now and get into some trees, I really don't want to spend my time on the phone. I'm like, my world has opened up again. Mm-hmm. And I think it's another one of these things where we've been socialized to operate at a certain level and function at a certain level virtually, digitally, socially. And for some people, that's great and they love it and that energizes them and they get a lot from it. And I think this is one of those things where it's like you really have to know yourself, right? Mm-hmm. I know myself and I know that I burn out really easily, especially in this season of my life, especially after having gone through actual burnout from my career. I'm just more sensitive now than I ever have been before. And so realizing that and then drawing the boundaries is definitely challenging. I have some people who probably think she's never around, she's a hermit, you know, why hasn't she responded to me? You and I have had a few of these texts back and forth where it's like weeks that we haven't responded to the other person, but there's this understanding that we know where we're coming from and we know the why behind it. And that is a really nice, safe space to be emotionally.
And that's
But unfortunately, that's not the case for most people in the way most people operate. So I do think it's a tension that a lot of people hold and that can in itself create some burnout. And so it's like, okay, knowing that, where are those 5 minutes throughout your day that you can really actually just disconnect and attune to yourself and create kind of this like householder's flow, if you will, where you can detox even if it's for 5 minutes at a time.
It's funny because you're like one of the few people that like I are in kind of an adjacent space right now. And I'm like, when sometimes you'd be like, oh my gosh, it's taken me like a month to respond, but we send each other long voice messages. And so it's like, well, that's like a thing where you really want to be like in a good intentional space. You shouldn't be like at the grocery store. But it's so funny because sometimes I'll have like other friends that are like a little younger. And so they're used to the like, well, I texted you, like, why didn't you respond? And I'm like, well, phone calls are like the immediate ones. Like to me, texting is like a page, like a when you get to it, you know, like that's probably just because of like being more of a millennial or whatnot. But I think those moments are really good for those of us who need to figure out like a healthy what would that be, like diet, like a media diet, a social media diet, like how much do you partake in consuming what's on, like from scrolling or even I would be like consumption, trying to create posts and respond to people and DMs, you know, and then when are you in nature? And I love how you said like, get in the trees. Cause that's like, so you like just being like in a tree. but literally, you know, that's something that's kind of been quote unquote prescribed for me, to put more into my week, because there's a lot of science backing also about the cortisol in nature. Like 30 minutes, 3 or 4 times a week significantly reduces your cortisol. And so for reorienting like how you operate and what you prioritize, like sometimes it is really important just to be like, I'm only going to consume social media this week, and then next week I'm not feeling it. And it can like sometimes align with your cycles, you know, especially naturally cyclers.
Absolutely. So, I think that one thing I have not had to really deal with is all these pressures that come from people's lives as far as caretaking for sick parents while you also have a child, while you also have a demanding career, while you also have health issues of your own. And I know that that can feel really challenging for people to kind of deal with. And there's this kind of narrative that a lot of people have, which I also had when I was in kind of the heyday of my career and had a lot of other obligations and responsibilities to manage, of I really don't have time. I really do need to be putting this much time into social stuff or being on the computer. And I absolutely 100% understand that and get that. And I will say also on the other side of it, there is space, right? It's like we just need to make it a priority. And again, it could be small bites here and there. I think a lot of us, especially maybe also for the high performing, high achieving types, it needs to feel like it's all or nothing. And maybe you can have that mindset, but maybe all or nothing looks like what I said, the 5 minutes. And maybe that's it. And that's fantastic. You know, mm-hmm. 5 minutes is better than 0 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Because I mean,
it's again, like a perspective shift, maybe, of like, just don't make it such a big thing. Bite off what you can actually chew so that it's workable and so that you can do the thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Most of my time, especially working with high achieving women through training, over the years, it became a really common pattern that I would have to be like, let's make this a realistic goal or mm-hmm. a more like digestible goal, something that you can actually implement. And it's always the pattern of the first like 3 or 6 months. They're like, no, Kales, like, give me the craziest thing to do. Give me, you know, this or that. I want to follow this diet, la, la, la. And then it's like turning up every several weeks, like, oh, I didn't do it. Oh, I fell off. Oh, this is too hard. And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, well, it's not necessary to do that. And then as my career went on, it was always like, yeah, maybe we should like pull back a little bit. Like, we don't need to push like so hard. Like, I even remember, you know, sometimes in small amounts, like where people would be like, I want to lift heavy today. And I'm like, you are not in a space to lift heavy. I was like, just trust me. Like, I can tell your energy is not heavy lifting today. Mm-hmm. You're heavy lifting too many other things in your real life. And that's such a hard thing to get across, because sometimes, again, like we were just talking about earlier, it becomes like a self-worth thing or like a, you know, like, no, but I can do all the things, because women are always expected to do all the things and still look pretty and still, you know, and so sometimes it's essential that we look at how do we operate in this type of energy and space. And like you said, there is always space. Like, you know, it's actually really funny. A professor, when I started college, had a homework assignment where we basically had a whole week and printed out on paper. And it was like the whole like 24-hour days. And we had to fill in everything we did and like class and everything. And his whole point was, look at how much space there is outside of things, or if there isn't space, what should you adjust? And that's something that even maybe for somebody listening, it could sound tedious, but just like maybe sometimes looking at your Google Calendar and like the white space, you know, like, can you fit like a 5-minute box breathing session, you know, or most people do have 15 minutes that if they were scrolling, they probably could also scroll on the treadmill or something. You know, I don't know. There's a lot of little things where you can sneak in some wellness for yourself, and it should compound over time, because your body would be like, oh, you're taking care of me, because you can't pour from an empty cup.
And each one of those steps is ultimately empowering, right? Like, I remember when I started building in, historically, up until, I don't know, I was 41, I would fly out the door in the morning, like no breakfast. It was, I didn't have a second to sit. It was just like, get up, get ready, rush out the door. Mm-hmm. And once I kind of took a step back and adjusted my lifestyle, I sometimes spend like an hour in the mornings just doing my rituals. And I understand that's a privilege and not everybody can do that. But there was a time in my life where I thought it's impossible. And when I look back, like I was saying earlier, there was some space where I could have created to actually create some grounding and centering for myself. And it's like, where in your day can you find that? Maybe it's not the morning. Maybe it's in the middle of the day. Maybe it's right before bed. But the more you can kind of build those little things in, you can then add another thing to it and then maybe add another thing to it. And not to get to a point where now you've added like an overwhelming self-care wellness routine to your day, but there's a really wonderful feeling that you get just knowing you're taking care of yourself. And whether it's one thing or 5 things or 50 things a day, each one of those things is just so critical, especially given the stress that just exists as part of everybody's daily lives.
Absolutely. There's a nice quote that I always remember of self-love says I love you and self-care says prove it. Mm. And that's kind of like a good way to prove to yourself that like, okay, I do care about myself. I do, you know, through all those little things. And I think that that's something that a lot of people listening to this conversation or just experiencing through life afterwards just can kind of pause and reflect on, like, what could I add in? You know, I recently asked one of my mom clients, who is one of the queens of doing all the things and juggling all the balls, and I was like, what do you do for yourself for, like, self-care? And most of the time, like, I've asked this question many times, and a lot of times they're just like, oh, I have no time for that. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, okay, well, let's make some time, because you're living your life and we only get one. And yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we can implement. And I'm just like you now. I've created the space in the mornings. Like, I used to not, because everyone wants to train in the morning. Mm-hmm. Used to. Now I've found a clientele base that is able to not train that early in the morning. But I had to seek that out intentionally. You know, I could have said, oh, I can't make time, I've got morning clients. Well, don't have morning clients. Find the elders who have all day long.
Yeah, find your people.
Exactly. It was like a very niche-y trainer thing. There's different groups that are available at different times of the day. But I definitely encourage whoever's listening who's resonating with the I don't have time to kind of, you know, with mindfulness, because mindfulness is, you know, observe without judgment. And so observe your own life and try not to put, you know, common stigmas or things like that that we think are the way they are, and make mm-hmm. them less concrete. Because that's something I've definitely noticed with more of like a scarcity mindset. You can kind of think that there's no way I could change anything in my life. I'm stuck. And that's just going to hold you back. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so, but... So before we kind of like wrap up our chat, because I feel like we could talk about it all the time, or, you know, this whole concept. For you, like, what would you say has been your greatest gift from this whole experience for you thus far? And if there's anything else that you kind of wanted to touch on that we haven't yet?
It's a great question. I would say... the greatest gift is increasing my capacity to receive. That has been, I knew it was something that I was challenged with before, but mm-hmm. then this gave me an entirely new, I guess, perspective as far as how challenging it was, in fact. Yeah. And again, not just receiving from loved ones, but receiving from strangers, whether mm-hmm. it's as like going to the grocery store when I was on crutches and having them help me out, even though it was just one bag. Yeah. You know, it's like I'm the lady that's carrying 10 bags out of the grocery store usually, right? Yeah. And it's like, I can't carry this one bag out, and somebody offers to help me. And it's like, yes, actually, I would love that. That would be so wonderful.
Yeah.
That has been a really, really beautiful gift, to just feel the care and the love from people I know and even people I don't know.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's amazing.
And it's inspiring and definitely creates this increased capacity to also then give that. So then it's like this ripple effect that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. That's another good side to that coin, because you kind of don't realize like how much receiving actually allows for you to give more as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Oh, that's a beautiful way for us to end this conversation.
Thank you.
But anyways, guys, so if you guys want to connect with Netta, I'm going to be putting her information in the show notes, so you can go ahead and check it out there. And I just want to thank you, Netta, for taking the time to have this conversation, share your story, and share with everyone what's possible to go through if you're going through a really hard time. You know, there's a phrase that I heard recently called a lifequake. And the term is meaning kind of like something that shakes up your life, whether it's good or bad, but something, all the pieces can fall depending on your perspective and how you come out of it. And so I really thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. This is wonderful as always.
All right. And you guys can look forward to hearing another episode with Netta we'll have on soon, where we're going to discuss quite a bit of things about sleep optimization, right?
All right.
Tune in next time. Thank you. All right, Rebel, that's another episode in the books. If you're sitting there thinking, oh my God, this actually makes sense now, do me a favor, screenshot this episode, tag me at Kaylee Loren or at Rebel Wellness Podcast on Instagram, and tell me which piece hit different. Your aha moments literally make my entire week. Want more of this energy? Jump on my newsletter where I spill the tea on everything from blood work interpretation to why your cravings aren't a character flaw. It's the unfiltered stuff that would make this episode 3 hours long. So if you want more of that, join our newsletter on my website, coachkales.com. And listen, if this show is becoming your weekly dose of someone finally gets it, please smash that 5-star rating on Spotify, or please drop us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps us grow and expand and share more education with more women like you who need it. You know, it's really important that we support our sisters. Real talk though, disclaimer time, I'm dropping knowledge, not prescriptions. Everything here is educational. I'm not diagnosing, treating, or replacing your healthcare team. Think of me as your research-obsessed bestie who happens to know a lot more about hormones, gut health, and all the good stuff than your hairdresser or that random health guru that you're not quite sure if you should trust her background. Keep questioning the status quo, keep trusting your body's wisdom, and keep showing up for yourself. You're doing better than you think, and I'll be right here cheering you on. Catch you next week.